ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're a church leader serving as a ruling elder or a deacon, but you also have almost a dozen other roles: sibling, parent, friend, biker, landscape architect, chauffeur, builder, grocer, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once, so let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. We're in for a treat on the podcast today as we're here with Neil Meyer. Among other roles, Neil is the campus minister with UKIRK, the Presbyterian Campus Ministry at Michigan State University. Happy to be talking with you today, Neil.
Thanks, Martha, for the invitation. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, you too. As we mention in our introduction of each episode, we all participate in this sacred life, filling numerous roles. Are there any of your other roles that you'd like to tell us about today, Neil?
I'm a parent, I'm a spouse, and my ministry role is a hybrid role. So in addition to serving as campus minister for UKIRK at Michigan State, I also I'm director of Christian education at Eastminster Presbyterian Church in East Lansing. So I have opportunity to be in kind of all different aspects with all ages of ministry throughout the life cycle.
Oh, that's great. Those are wonderful roles to have and to serve in. So throughout your ministries and your varied places in life and in the church, you've had a chance to engage others in a variety of spiritual practices. Can you tell us some about what those experiences have been for you?
Sure. I think spiritual practices can run the gamut from being super intimidating to simple. And I've found sometimes the simple are the easiest to stick with and often the most transformational. I think sometimes we get in our own way, in our own head, set up unnecessary and even imaginary roadblocks to being able to engage in spiritual practices. And so lean on the simple, and sometimes they come even without intention. The best ones happen with intentionality, but sometimes without intention. And one of the more recent ones I've developed is when the Michigan weather is good enough for walking to school, walking the kids to school. As much as I enjoy the conversation with the kids on the way to school, I've turned the walk home into a spiritual practice with Taze songs that go in my head, or a prayer walk, and name those things. And so not only getting some exercise, but praying the day from the beginning and bringing to name those people or situations that are in mind or on my prayer list, and doing that as an active way. And that's been really meaningful to me. And then have experimented with a lot in education in the church and working with college students. We do a lot of different examples and throw a lot of different possibilities out at people for how they can develop spiritual practices depending on the context that they find themselves in at any given moment of ministry or season of life that they find themselves in.
That's wonderful. I love the idea of it being a part of our day, using the parts of our day that already happen, like walking home from school, and finding God and what God might be saying to us within that. How about working with ruling elders and deacons? Are there ways that you've used spiritual practices in service with them?
Absolutely. And one that I want to share today, it's loosely based on the examine. And so the examen was introduced to me, you know, as the Ignatian practice, and of going through the day, becoming aware of God's presence, returning. It was a modified version of the examen when I first learned it. And it was framed in the sense of gratitude for what moment in my week or day am I most grateful for? Which one am I least grateful for? And I think sometimes giving that space to name the things that don't go as well or that frustrate us can be important and part of our spiritual practice too. We don't have to hold those things in. And so that's super helpful. And then once upon a time came what some of our listeners may think is the dreaded, I signed up for session devotion or deacon devotion for the meeting, and I forgot that I am doing this. And so I know those things come easy to some of our church officers out there, and sometimes it comes more difficult for others. But giving a modified exam and using what are my four favorite words in our church, and those are the words from the ordination vows that we all take. And will you serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Mm-hmm. And so I like playing with those four words in a modified examine. And one of the things I think it's so easy to say yes or I will when we're talking about ordination vows or when we're talking about baptismal promises, whatever the case may be. But then how often do we revisit those or use those as a framing? So say you're serving a three-year term or whatever length term you've said yes to your local nominating committee at your congregation as an elder or deacon, to hold those words in front alongside the work that you're called to do and have been given to do. So if we use energy, for instance, what is it in this past month, this past year that I was most energized by? What was the most life-giving for me? What was life draining, or where was the opposite, or where did I find that I didn't have energy to do the ministry to which I'm called? And I think in framing those kinds of questions, it begins to take shape for what it is that we might be doing when we're at our best. Because if we're energized for the work, I think you get closer to the best self that God intends us to be. And if we're spending too much time or an unbalanced amount of time on things that are life draining, then that not only has an impact on our own spiritual life, but on the ministry that we do in service to Jesus Christ and to others.
I really like the way that you've framed that and the fact that it's a reminder of one of those constitutional questions that we all respond to in our ordination and in our installation. One of the things that really connects us as teaching elders, as ruling elders, as deacons, and it's important for us to keep the questions in front of us in our roles as church leaders, not just, as you said, like something to be asked, answered, and then put aside, but to bring to the forefront. So using those four pieces as we examine our day, I think that could be really life-giving for folks.
I think so. I've found it to be immensely helpful, and I've heard from elders that I've used it with that it's really helped them frame their day or their ministry in a different sort of way. Again, the same thing we did with energy, with intelligence. What have I given the most amount of thought to? What have I just passed over or not given the proper amount of thought to? Imagination, where have I allowed myself to be creative? Where have I opened moments for possibilities? And what has prevented me from dreaming? What has prevented us from thinking differently beyond ways that we have always done things? And then with love, how have we demonstrated God's love? Where have we held back or not responded in the most loving way? All those kinds of questions that can really continue to form us if we talk about faith formation as a lifelong gift and formation for leaders as ongoing spiritual practice. I think these words are so powerful, and it's just a matter of how we frame them, and anybody can play with it. So you can structure using those four building block words of energy, intelligence, imagination, love. You could frame the question any way you want to make it make sense for the context you find yourself in. And but I think it has an ability to really transform the way we think about the work we do, because I think so often we think we're responding not in the spirit sense, but we are responding to the agenda that we find in front of us at the beginning of a session meeting or deacon right. meeting. And how do we make that agenda a breathing document, a document of the spirit that leads us into the work that we're called to do?
I love that. So as you introduced yourself and you told us about some of your roles, one of those is ministry directly with young adults, in particular in your role at Michigan State. Are there words that you hope deacons and ruling elders hear and remember as they're formed in their ministries, as you think about the connection with young adults and you think about these young people who are being formed as well and maybe already do, but also can serve in leadership within their congregations?
Absolutely. And I think in addition to that, in addition to our young people or young adults being formed and in the state of constantly being shaped for who they're becoming, I think we often lose sight of who they already are and what they bring. And one of the things that I love about getting students in as college students is when they come in the door as college students, they get to be maybe for the first time in their life, whoever they are when they walk in that moment as an 18-year-old, they come with such a fresh insight. And so in a way they form us. And I think what I want deacons and elders in the church to know is to listen to the stories that our young people are saying, to pay attention to where they are. We talk so much about where they aren't, especially in the 10 a.m. hour on Sunday morning, but where are they spending their time? Where are they showing up in the world? And where are they sharing the love of Jesus Christ and being active in the world? And it's some amazing places and some amazing ways. And I think they can reform and reshape us in our understanding of what it means to be followers of Christ in this world by seeing the things that they're paying attention to that sometimes, quite honestly, maybe the church has forgotten or just not spent enough time outside of our walls doing.
And it occurs to me that these things are all connected as we think about those pieces, those gifts we get from those in other generations from us, that there are those pieces of energy, intelligence, imagination, love that we can kind of use the practice that you've introduced us to as we think about how we're in ministry with folks that aren't our same age, aren't our peers, are different than us, have some other sort of diversity than we do. I think there are a lot of connections there that you've sort of highlighted. I love that.
No, I appreciate that. And when I think about those four pieces to those four words, I often find myself thinking in many of our church contexts, and maybe this will ring true for some of the listeners as well, that I don't often question the intelligence or love that is present in a lot of our congregations. I sometimes in our 2023 world question where the energy and the imagination are. And I think that's something that our young people have in spades and show us in so many ways, and what we can still learn as the church. And so I think that's another piece of this, is that when we're asking these questions, we can't hold on to the thought that we've already learned everything there is to learn. What are we still being taught? What is God still doing with us? And what would God have us do as we serve the church and the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? And again, I learned so much from the young adults that I'm around on a regular basis about what it means to bring the energy and bring the imagination, not just to the church, but to the world God loves.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for those words. And thank you very much, Neil, for being with us. On behalf of our listeners, I want to show appreciation not only for you being on the podcast today, but also for your current ministries. Some of you may be aware that Michigan State was the site of a mass shooting earlier this year. Neil was an active part of the healing ministry for students, faculty, staff, and community there on campus. So thank you, Neil, for being the hands and sharing the heart of Christ through this tragedy. So thank you for being with us, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Martha. Pleasure to be with you.
We hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons, pcusa.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.